Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Rewire Your Anxious Brain: How to Use the Neuroscience of Fear to Overcome Anxiety, Panic, and Worry. Is a neuroscience-informed self-help book on anxiety management by clinical psychologist Catherine M. Pittman, associated with the earlier widely known edition co-authored with Elizabeth M. Carl. Its central purpose is to explain why anxiety can feel irrational, automatic, and physically overwhelming, while also showing how those reactions can be modified through repeated practice. Rather than treating anxiety as a flaw in personality or willpower, the book frames it as the result of brain systems designed for threat detection and survival. The discussion is organized around two major anxiety pathways: the amygdala, which produces rapid fear responses, and the cortex, which generates worry, rumination, and catastrophic interpretation. The book belongs to the practical psychology and mental health category. But its distinguishing feature is the consistent use of brain-based explanations to connect symptoms with concrete coping strategies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the amygdala pathway explains fast fear before conscious thought. One of the book's most important contributions is its explanation of amygdala-based anxiety. The amygdala is presented as a rapid threat detection system that can activate fear responses before a person has fully understood what is happening. This helps explain why panic, phobias, and sudden bodily alarm can feel disconnected from logical appraisal. A person may know that a situation is not dangerous, yet still experience racing heart, shallow breathing, muscle tension, sweating, or an urge to escape. The book uses this distinction to reduce self-blame. The problem is not that the person is weak or irrational, but that an older survival system has learned to associate certain cues with danger. Because this pathway does not respond primarily to verbal reasoning, the recommended interventions must involve the body and direct experience. Calm breathing, relaxation practice, repeated safe exposure, and changed behavioral responses are emphasized because they give the amygdala new evidence over time. The reasoning is practical. If anxiety has been learned through repeated fear associations, it can also be weakened through repeated experiences of safety and non-avoidance. Secondly, the cortex pathway links anxiety to worry, prediction, and rumination. The book separates amygdala-driven fear from cortex-driven anxiety, which arises through thought processes such as anticipation, interpretation, mental rehearsal, and rumination. The cortex is not portrayed as harmful in itself. It is the part of the brain that enables planning, language, memory, and evaluation. Anxiety emerges when these capacities are used to repeatedly imagine threats, overestimate danger, or dwell on uncertain outcomes. This framework is useful because it shows why some anxiety does not begin with a physical alarm, but with a chain of thoughts. A person may become anxious by replaying a conversation, predicting failure, or mentally testing every possible problem. The book therefore treats worry as an active brain process, not merely a mood. Strategies for this pathway involve identifying anxious interpretations, questioning catastrophic assumptions, shifting attention, and reducing repetitive mental loops. The cortex can intensify fear by sending danger messages to the amygdala, but it can also help regulate anxiety when trained to evaluate evidence more accurately. This dual role makes cognitive work necessary, but only when it is matched to the correct pathway. Thirdly, neuroplasticity turns anxiety management into repeated brain training. A central premise of Rewire Your Anxious Brain is that anxiety responses are changeable because the brain remains plastic. Neuroplasticity is presented in practical terms. Repeated patterns of thought, emotion, and behavior strengthen certain neural pathways, while new patterns can gradually create alternatives. This idea matters because it shifts the reader's attention from quick relief to consistent retraining. Avoidance may reduce anxiety in the short term, but it can teach the brain that the avoided situation truly is dangerous. By contrast, approaching feared situations carefully and repeatedly can help the brain learn that alarm is not always a reliable signal. But the book's use of neuroplasticity also explains why insight alone is usually insufficient. Understanding anxiety may reduce confusion, but new brain responses require practice under conditions that resemble real triggers. Relaxation, exposure, cognitive reframing, and attention management are therefore treated as training methods rather than one-time techniques. The implication is demanding but realistic change is possible, but it depends on repetition, patience, and willingness to experience some discomfort while building new associations. Fourthly, effective coping depends on matching the tool to the anxiety pathway. The book's two-pathway model is not only explanatory, it is a decision-making tool. A major practical lesson is that anxiety techniques work best when they target the system that is producing the anxiety. If the amygdala is driving the reaction, logical reassurance may have limited impact because the alarm response is operating outside ordinary language and reasoning. In that case, bodily calming skills, grounding, relaxation, and gradual exposure are more directly relevant. If the cortex is generating anxiety through repetitive worry, then cognitive strategies become more useful, including examining predictions, interrupting rumination, and changing the meaning assigned to uncertainty. This distinction prevents the common mistake of using one method for all anxiety experiences. It also explains why some people feel frustrated when they understand that a fear is unreasonable but still cannot feel calm. The book encourages readers to observe the sequence of their anxiety, whether it begins as a sudden physical surge, a specific trigger, or a thought pattern. That observation helps translate neuroscience into personalized intervention rather than generic self-help advice. Lastly, courage is framed as behavior that teaches the brain safety. The book treats courage less as a personality trait and more as a learned behavioral pattern that can influence the brain. This is important because anxiety often persuades people to wait until fear disappears before acting. Eck Pittman's framework suggests the opposite. Carefully chosen action in the presence of fear is one of the ways the brain learns new responses. When a person avoids a feared situation, the immediate decrease in anxiety reinforces avoidance and keeps the fear association intact. When a person remains in or approaches a safe but feared situation, the brain has an opportunity to update its prediction. This does not mean forcing reckless exposure or ignoring genuine danger. The book emphasizes working with anxiety in a structured and informed way. Courage, in this view, is not the absence of bodily alarm, but the willingness to behave according to evidence and values despite that alarm. This concept connects the neuroscience to daily life, because the desired change is not merely feeling calmer, but becoming less governed by fear-based impulses and avoidance patterns. In conclusion, Rewire Your Anxious Brain is especially suited for readers who want to understand anxiety in concrete, biological terms while still receiving practical guidance. It can benefit people dealing with panic symptoms, chronic worry, specific fears, avoidance habits, or the confusion of feeling afraid when nothing appears objectively dangerous. It is also useful for therapists, coaches, and educators who want a clear way to explain anxiety mechanisms without relying only on diagnostic labels. The intellectual benefit is that the book separates anxiety into two interacting pathways, which makes symptoms easier to interpret. The practical benefit is that this distinction helps readers choose better interventions: body-based retraining for amygdala alarm and cognitive work for cortical worry. Compared with many anxiety self-help books, it stands out because it does not present anxiety as only a thinking problem or only a stress management problem. Its strength is the integration of accessible neuroscience, behavioral practice, and cognitive strategy. Readers seeking a quick emotional reassurance book may find it more instructional than comforting, and its methods require repetition. For those willing to practice, however, its framework offers a realistic and memorable way to understand why anxiety persists and how new responses can be learned. If you would like to support Catherine M. Pittman, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.